Blog Talk Radio. All too often these days, the factory whistle is falling silent in America. But there is a way to get American workers back to work. Start buying more American-made products. Now, a Michigan-based company is leading the way in this movement to strengthen our economy. It's called AmericanMadeProducts.com. AmericanMadeProducts.com is more than a way to purchase American-made products online quickly and securely. It's a way to get our economy moving in the right direction. Go online or call and speak to a live customer service representative. AmericanMadeProducts.com, a family company based on the belief in the American worker and the quality of American-made products. If you're an American manufacturer, big or small, and would like your products on our site, contact us. We add products daily. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your employer about AmericanMadeProducts.com. Visit, shop, and watch America grow. AmericanMadeProducts.com.
Welcome to the UAW Factory Whistle Show with Donnie C., Dick, Scott, and Jeff. They talk about union workers' opinions, concerns, and questions. Call in and join the conversation at 347-324-3752.
All right. We're waiting for Scott to get here. He's a little late. So we'll play this.
We gave it a more powerful Duramax turbo diesel and Allison transmission to help it move over 21,000 pounds. And then we gave it an advanced exhaust brake system to help slow it down, saving wear and tear on your brakes and on you with a powertrain back for 100,000 miles. Introducing the new Silverado HD, the most powerful heavy duty ever made.
All right. All right, that's for all you Dodge Ram drivers, and I know one. Scott? Yeah?
Hello.
Oh, I helped.
Sorry, I'm late.
That's fine.
Trying to get the fire
What's
going.
You? Well, I just want to apologize for the show not being on last week. I lost a family member, and I guess some people were upset. But let me explain to you. Scott can't just put it on. I got to do it. I've got all the equipment. I have 3 computers, mixer, microphones. I got to hear. So if you're going to blame anybody, blame me, because it's my fault. So, sorry if you can't miss a week. And some people piss me off. We'll let that slide. We'll let it go. I don't want to get into that. Anyway, back to the UAW show. Back to you, Scott. That would be your cue.
Yeah.
You're as good as Bob. I cue you.
Oh, there you go. 1, 2, 3. Do you have any emails?
Yeah.
You do?
Okay. We'll get to the emails and then we'll start with after that we'll go into your union meeting we had today.
There you go. I'll give you a report on the union meeting.
There you go. Okay, Scott, I noticed you were in a discussion with our leader. I guess this is from today. Anything you can share with the membership? Just being nosy. And that's a Jane. That's from Jane. And she's a third shifter at Truck Point. She would like to know if I guess she's seen you talking to someone today. And wanted to know if you had any information that wasn't shared at the union meeting that you can share with Jane.
Well, yeah, Gene, I guess there is some information I could share with you. I was just expressing my concerns over over some of the appearances that we've been seeing on the floor, and that such as seeing our committee people on the floor. And I understand everybody thinks that just because you don't see your committee men, you know, that there's down the works that are set, and that isn't always the case. You know, when you do have calls, they're out answering their calls. So sometimes we'll see them, you know, via en route from one call to another call. I was just expressing that my concern, my personal concern, was that we need to see more of them out there walking. I noticed that Scott was out on third shift last week, out walking a little bit, and so was Rick. I just like to see more of those. I'd expressed to our chairman something that's called the policy grievance. And a policy grievance is such that the committeeman doesn't need the member to sign that grievance. The committeeman can. A good example of a policy grievance would be paragraph 215 of the National Agreement. Management shall not do bargaining unit work. That's something that a committee person or could pull out the grievance pad, fill out that person for management's name, charge them violation of the national agreement, N/A, 215, and write that down. And for the demands that management shall cease to do bargaining unit work, and maybe furthermore would replace such person with full-time EE, which is employee, /UAW member, or something like that, if that's how you want to write your demand to get that finished or to get that settled. That's one example. Another example could be if you see a team leader doing a job because their attendance, they had a problem with their attendance because we all know they cut too many people. And that could possibly fall under a policy grievance. And that's what my concerns was as was sharing with our chairman. And he said that the guys are out hitting the floor more, and that's a good thing. And he understands this is a contract year, and they need to get as many grievances as possible for negotiations. That's bullets for your gun. That's your ammunition. And I just had a small conversation with about the axle line that's going to be disappearing, how that's going to affect different people. And he said there that he's full aware of that, and that they're meeting on that Tuesday morning. And the corporation really botched that whole thing up, and they're not happy with it, so they're pulling it out because they said make it the way they wanted it to go instead of listening to us, the members, and keeping it like it was and make it run so smooth. And that's about all I was really talking with the shop chairman that I could share with you, I guess.
Yeah.
Anything else? Yeah.
You can't discuss everything. Some things are private, and some
right.
things are not. Here's one. Scott, here's what I think we are getting set up for in our coming contract with GM and the IUAW. Okay, somebody skipped something. GM and the IUAW wants to increase bonuses of a fair wage increase, and they will get this by giving a large signing bonus and maybe even a to 4-day strike to make it look like the IUAW has done everything in the at workers' best interest. I have been through a very short strike before, and it was short because the IUAW didn't want to pay out benefits. I don't know how to spell. I don't know what this is. My opinion. It must be my opinion, of course. But I have zero trust in our leaders in Detroit or on the plant floor. And if things don't change for the better, I will be signing off on my dues. And that's Larry P. from Detroit, Michigan. Larry P. I remember short strikes and not enough time to get paid anything. Yeah, I remember that.
We were out, what, 2 days?
I believe it was 2 days. I walked picket line. I walked both times, both days. So I think it was only 2 days.
Yeah, and it was two or three, depending on where what shift you was on and where you was at. And they said they didn't have to pay out strike fund because you weren't out 5 days. You were not a week. So we didn't get a check at all that week.
No.
We did, but you got, so it was got a 2-day check. And after taxes, it was minimal.
Yeah.
And I remember, was it Larry? Is that his name, Larry?
Larry.
From Detroit?
No.
Okay.
Larry in Detroit. Yeah, Larry P.
All right. Larry, I fully can relate with your feelings on this, as can many other thousands of brothers and sisters in the UAW, not just in the Big Three alone, but the Big Three. When you convey your messages, your feelings this way, so this message, I understand in such that depending on how long you've been with the UAW, we can look backwards into history and we can see the things that we've given up. And, you know, the company, some of us do read and some of us do pay attention to what's happening in the market. And, you know, we know that General Motors has been profitable, for quite some time now, coming out of the bankruptcy. And the things that we give up, I, like you, probably feel that there are certain things that should have been restored to us that haven't been. And I am very weary of what our new president says, because one thing he says in the press and the next thing he says in the press, or sometimes in the very same article, he'll say that we need to keep the corporation, for example, we need to keep the corporation competitive. And at the end of the article, he says, but you know what? We got to take care of our workers, too. Well, one, that's confusing. Two, it's very wishy-washy and ambiguous. What do you mean? You want to keep the company profitable or you want to fight for the members? You can't have both. You know what I mean? You can, but that's a really hard line.
That's not our responsibility. It's management's responsibility.
Yeah. Exactly. And his responsibility is to the membership. It's not to the corporation. Paragraph 8 says it's theirs. It's theirs, and it's theirs to do with what they want and how they want to do it. In fact, if it is, it says solely and exclusively by the corporation. That doesn't include Larry from Detroit. Doesn't include Scott from Flint. It doesn't include, you know, Harry Hubcap from Saginaw. It doesn't include anybody from IUAW. It says solely exclusively right of General Motors. And likewise, if you look at the Constitution of the UAW, on the objects in Article 2, it tells you specifically that you're to help us, you know, with shorter hours and better pay and better benefits. I understand. I would be very cautious as to withdrawing from the union. Because there are a lot of things that you lose that you don't get back. there are a lot of things that you won't have a say in, such as your contract, for instance. That's a negotiated contract, and I believe you will not have the right or the opportunity to vote on that contract anymore, because that is for the members to vote on. And if you're not a member of the UAW, you wouldn't be able to vote on your own contract. However, I don't know how that would work out with what we'll probably talk about a little bit tonight is the profit sharing and the performance bonus. Now, if I remember right, the profit sharing is also negotiated, isn't it? You know, just things you have to ask yourself. If that's negotiated under that wage agreement, under the contract, the national contract, then if you're not a member of that union, are you eligible to receive that profit sharing, even though you helped to make that money for the corporation?
Because
that was negotiated.
Well, I'm assuming that everybody that worked in say, General Motors would receive that. But I think the UAW is looking into ways, they're charging the non-members like an administration cost. I read this somewhere. Don't ask me where I read it. Teresa probably knows a hell of a lot more about this than I do. And it might have been from one of her articles. Some kind of administration cost. I'm not sure, or even charging. Well, one time charging if you need representation. Now, I don't know what, they haven't came out, to my knowledge, with anything concrete. But I think if you work there, the profit sharing and all that, well, it still comes from General Motors. I believe you still get it. I'm just guessing, but I don't think you can discount somebody that works alongside you that might not be a union member if they're building the same vehicle, even though it's a negotiated part of the contract. Now, I don't know this, and I'm just, like I said, I'm stressing, I'm just guessing. But I agree. Now, if things go like Larry P. thinks it's going to go, and you get bonuses, and you vote for the contract, you got the power in your own hands to vote for it. I would rather, I'm retired now, but if I was an active worker, I would rather them take their profit sharing, take their little bonuses they give you, whatever, through the year, and keep them and give me a good wage increase, and because that affects your pension, I don't know if it's a health benefit or anything, life insurance, things like that. I think it does, but I know it does your pension. So if when you cash, say they give you $10,000 in September for a signing bonus, I guarantee you you're losing $70,000, $60,000. Just how it is. How it was the last time, $45,000 the last time. I think Dick figured out. I can't remember. Whoa. It was a large sum of money people lost for voting yes.
Yes, you're right. It was. I think we figured out $45,000 over the life of the agreement.
I believe it was, yeah, $45,000.
That was 2011.
Mm-hmm.
No, 2007 was, we took major concessions in the 2007, and then
that's
they
right.
Opened up the contract 2 years later,
yep.
Because of the bankruptcy, because Rick Wagner had lost a lot of money. So don't worry about it. My wife has been trying to find the blog, and it's extremely difficult. Sorry about that. The 2007 agreement, we gave back financially. And then in 2009, they opened up our contract. It doesn't matter that it wasn't a contract, it was agreed upon. We didn't get to say anything on it. The union on our behalf opened up the contract, and they give more concessions back. And we had, cost of living was one of the big things that we can, name right off the hand that we've not been restored back to us.
Let me interrupt you. Didn't you say that our benefit or what was taken away once General Motors was profitable again? Am I wrong?
No, you're right. They did say they were going to give it back to us once they returned to profitability.
Right.
They would look at that and negotiate that back once they became profitable again. And, they've been profitable for over 4 years, haven't they?
Yes.
The number is thrown out there today that since 2011 in profit sharing, we've gotten $39,000.
Yeah. What?
I'm trying to think. I don't think we've gotten $39,000.
Since 2011?
Since 2011.
No.
I think that number is a little bit off. Now, that might be the number that the union gets, including their roll-ups that we don't get to see.
No, we didn't get no $39,000. Let me tell you that.
Up to $9,000 this year. You had $7,500 last year. You had, seven the year before? 72 the year before. And the year before that was $7,500.
Oh, was it? I thought it was five. Sound I ain't even close.
Maybe it was.
Yeah, maybe it was. Maybe
I gotta think.
Add up
this
to 39.
No.
Unless they add, are they adding this year? I guess they are. They have to be.
Well, even if you add all four of those years. Yeah, even if you add all four of those years together, that still wouldn't get you to 39.
Well, I don't know. I really don't know what you're talking about. I know we got a five. I might be confusing that with a signing bonus that everybody voted no for, they said, and it passed overwhelmingly.
It was 2011. I'll tell you why.
You're probably right.
They were complaining they were going to take $750 off our profit sharing check to go into VIVA right up front.
That's right.
That was 2011.
I remember that argument. I remember people complaining.
Which resurfaced again this last week.
Oh, yes. The 10% that goes into. I'm sorry, folks, that you have to help retire these, but that's how it is. And I don't know if it's still going on. Scott's the expert on this compared to me. I didn't know it ever changed. I thought if you got a bonus, 10% flat top, right off the top comes off right into VIVA. Now, what I was led to believe, I could be wrong.
Right. I pulled that actual language up out of the Solidarity magazine, and they talked about going into 2012 paying for the return of vision and the health care back
right.
to the retirees, which they didn't really do until this last summer, which was 2014.
Mm-hmm. That's
it. Anyway, in the actual paper, you know, I think I'll just pull it up instead of trying to go verbatim here. I think I'll just maybe read that to somebody. Because that was quite, and that was the one thing I didn't ask today. I wanted to ask somebody today. There was a long line behind me, behind the, you know, wanting to talk to the shop chairman.
Oh, yeah.
And I can kind of understand that why, but my train of thought was that. I didn't want to hold up too many people. You know what I mean?
I understand that.
So, I want to keep moving because we talked about multiple things. And I didn't hold his...
You were trying to find people you get shit, right? Is that what you were trying to do?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So anyway, the workers' workplace is in the all right. Thank you, Cinnamon. We were having technical difficulties here. Still are, but I'll get over it, I guess. I pulled up the article. It's been last week here now, so bear with me. Anywhere in the article, when I get to it, I'll read it to you. It does not say just for a specific year. And usually, unless they highlight that or
right.
specifically say just for that instance, that would go out going forward. Just saying, no, usual. Now, if I'm wrong, I hope I am wrong. Believe me, I hope I am wrong, and that would give us more money. But you know, on top of that, you know, we also know that they sold. They asked the. Corporation to buy back some stock, which it's a good thing, but it's a bad thing because it's a good thing that they could sell that back. And that means they had to put that money back into the VEBA, $800 million into the VEBA. But on the flip side of that, it took $800 more out of our profit sharing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I guess. Okay. I'm really trying to find this. It was basically what they were saying was that, I'm getting closer to it now. I got it. Finally, sorry about that.
That's fine.
Phew, okay. This was issued on September 30th, 2011. So you can go to UAW.org and find this. This came out of the Solidarity November-December issue. It's under the title of UAW Statement on Retirees in the 2011 Big Three Negotiations. Next to the last paragraph of that article, it says, and I quote, "Finally, we were able to negotiate and ratify a 10% contribution from active members' profit sharing that will be diverted to the Voluntary Employee Beneficiary Association, VEBA. Diversion helps to make possible the modified dental and vision coverage that will be restored by the VEBA for our UAW Big Three retirees in January 2012.
2012. And
you know,
that didn't. Extra $100 a month for dental and my glasses.
I think they were just a little bit behind. They finally did get that done this year. I don't know how that works out as compared, though, to. If you are currently retired and your health care to the VEBA is COBRA, if you opt to take help with the dental and optical if you have to sign out of COBRA or not. That I don't know.
No, okay. I didn't hear nothing about
COBRA. If you had to go back into that, it cost you more.
Well, Fred didn't tell me about that. I never heard the word COBRA when we were talking. He just, if I wanted to have that insurance for optical and a dentist, you know, it's about $100 a month, which is fine.
Right.
You know, but if we're getting it back, I was just wondering when I was getting my money back. That was
right.
Well,
we'll get there.
Very confusing.
There, I'm finally in. I'm glad I could join you completely now.
Hi.
Anyway, I don't like Blog Talk when they screw things up. I did get. Go ahead.
No, trust me. I don't. It's hard to find Joe.
I was trying to find I had read an article. I'm sure some other people had read an article somewhere. Where they had talked about the profit sharing. In the article, there was a fellow who was from the finance department from General Motors, said that there was no formula. And if you can remember Dick Dangin talking about that, he said that years ago. And
yes,
there was a formula. It was in our contract, unless they've changed that. There was a formula. And there was conflicting things. I saw something this week where somebody from the UAW did say there was a formula, which would conflict what the financier from General Motors Department had said. So one says there is a formula, one says there isn't a formula. Speaking of profit sharing, the formula. You need to read that letter very closely. The letter is very clear. It says up to $9,000. And the it works in two different parts. First part, if I remember, it said up to $7,000. Isn't that what I think I had said?
There was seven.
I had a letter. Yeah, I got a copy of the letter right here. Let me see. I'm talking about this. It's in the second paragraph of the main letter, I think, that somebody posted online. In recognition of your contribution to General Motors 2014 adjusted EBITDA performance, we are pleased to announce that the eligible UAW GM team members will receive a maximum profit sharing payout of $7,000. Eligible hourly employees will also receive a special performance payment totaling up to $2,000. Combined, the variable payout amount to a maximum of $9,000. Now, the formula for the, as far as it, I know, and I could be wrong, is 1,850 hours would get you the $7,000 profit sharing.
Right.
Then again, the same formula, 1,850 hours, to get the performance bonus. What was explained to us today at the union meeting was that if you're going to defer that, like the PSP or whatever you're going to do, you know, to maybe put a little more of that money in your pocket, only the 7 will count. The 2 is going to go right into your paycheck no matter what. Found that out today. The $2,000, they're calling it a performance bonus. It's not. They're calling it that. What was explained to us today was that President Williams told General Motors that you're not going to take extra money out of the pockets of the workers who made you this money because of your mishap. And you'll find a way to put that money that you was going to use to write off for the recalls back into our pockets. So that's how we went from 7 to a maximum of up to 9,000. I'm like everybody else. I did not see our president make that statement anywhere in the press that he would have gladly done that to show that he's working for us. But, you know, what do I know? So, anyway, so that's how that kind of played out. So as soon as we heard about the profit sharing, the old 10% off the top came out. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll apologize up front if I'm wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. That'd be more money in everybody else's pocket. But if I'm right, I'm just saying it was there in black and white print that they did this. And they negotiated that on our behalf for a reason. That was, if you also remember, if you've been listening to the show for 2 or 3 years, you remember Dick Danjan also saying that we help fund the VEBA. And that's one way that we'd help fund the VEBA, is by giving our profit sharing, part of our profit sharing. Not just your future wage, that $1.05 that you were supposed to get a raise in 2005 that we gave, that future raise that we gave away for the very first VEBA. A lot of people forget that. Also, you're going to add another $1.05 on top of the wage you got right now. That doesn't include COLA. Profit sharing, I had to figure out exactly what we got paid out. I'll do that for next week. I'll let you know exactly what we've gotten since 2011.
Yeah.
I've
personally
seen people.
The press will have it faster than anybody, and you'll read it in the newspaper, hear it on the news. They like to tell everything about General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford. Of course, we don't know any of their business, but they like to talk about how much people get that work in these plants. And there was somebody put a blog up on workers, workplaces, and unions, that he'd like to sue. He would like to sue the media. And I don't blame him, because we get more crap because we're getting blamed. You know that. People that work in the plant right now are getting blamed for these parts. It's insane. These people are nuts. And here we are, all you read is about the big General Motors bonuses. Then you see commercials. If you got a GM, you know, bonus, come on in. We'll get you set up in a car. And it's all over the place. So if you don't hear it, you'll hear it from the news media for sure. You know what I mean?
Yep. I know exactly what you mean, and you know that there's been a couple of people who talked about that, you know, putting our personal business out there so that they can, you know,
exactly.
Read that.
Yeah, like we don't get enough crap. Well, let me get to this last theme.
Sure.
This is from Larry in Missouri. Larry in Missouri. Well, someone tell me how Volkswagen has a UAW union office, and who in the hell is paying for it? the IUAW tells us they are broke, then they do this. And as I understand it, they also had elections. Tell me, how did this happen? From a man that has pulled his head out of the sand when it comes to the UAW, Larry in Missouri.
Well, funny you should talk about that, because you and I talked about that this afternoon for a little bit. There was an election held, Local 42, UAW. They did hold an election for president, vice president, recording secretary, financial secretary. I don't know, Larry, I wish I could tell you better. I'm probably thinking along the same lines as you are, because there's nobody there to represent this time. That they'll tell you that there is, but they have not been recognized.
Well, Teresa put something down that the UAW is certified to represent Volkswagen workers in Tennessee. It says the UAW has been certified as a representative of more than 45% of Volkswagen's workers in Chattanooga, a major victory for the union, which has been trying to gain a foothold, of course, in the South. Okay. The results of the independent audit of union membership clear the way for the union to meet regularly with management on workplace issues. The UAW said Monday night it was not told the exact percentage by Volkswagen, but believes the final tally could be more than 50%, which would give them give the union more leverage. Now, this came out in the Detroit Free Press December 9th, 2014. This is what it says. Teresa's got it on a union, whatever the hell your site is on Facebook. I keep getting it all screwed up. But anyway, it's on there. And I printed it out. And workers, workplaces, and unions. And that's what it says. But I thought you had to have 51% to, I don't know. It's as anticipated, we surpassed the highest level under Volkswagen's new community organization engagement policy. And the local leadership is ready to move forward with additional conversations with the company, UAW Secretary of Treasury Gary Castile said in a statement. They changed the rules a little bit, it sounds like, huh? Sounds like they changed the rules just a little bit to get this
pretty
going. And there's a professor, and I'm trying to find that. Now, I've got it somewhere, and I should have highlighted this stuff. I never do.
Right.
That's Obama. I want to deal with that, right? Anyway, he said it sounds like the UAW can't accept defeat. 45% or a little over 45%. I thought unless you change the whole rule, you had to have 51% to represent anything.
Right. Because remember the vote was, less than 100 votes.
Oh, yeah,
was voted
close.
The last time.
Yeah, very close.
Right. My understanding
is that when this goes, when they go for a vote for certification, that they had to have 51% of the vote. That way, then they could say they're represented by the UAW in a court of law. That contract goes to the National Labor Review Board. I think it goes to the SEC too. There are other government bodies that look at these national contracts.
Right.
That 51% would give them the majority so that they could go ahead and then the Volkswagen folks could be represented by the UAW, which would give them a contract of some kind. If they already didn't have one already made up for them, which has happened in the past, by the way.
Now, last month, ACE said it planned to organize enough workers to represent those opposed to the UAW.
Right.
But ACE not yet applied to represent Volkswagen workers. I don't know what ACE is. I don't know what what it stands for. But a professor from Labor Relations in Clark University disagrees that the certification results represent a major victory for the UAW. I think that this all boils down to the UAW. The UAW is refusing to call a defeat a defeat. It attempted transplant and was unsuccessful. Jason said in reference to the election that narrowly lost, and it was. It was a close, a very close vote. I don't know. And he said this thing could face legal challenges. So, man, when will this end? You know?
Right, which leads me back to Larry from Detroit talking about the why should I stay instead of why should I go? You know, why should I stay with the UAW?
Mm-hmm.
The people are paying attention to what's happened to them over the last 20 years. We see where we're going, we see things in the public, and they think that they treat us as though we're unintelligent.
True.
And what I mean by unintelligent is this. They think we're not paying attention to when we go to the Constitutional Convention. It appears as though who we want goes to the convention. It appears as though those people are direct in the way that they need the vote to go.
Those
who didn't get to see it, we did watch a video that was on YouTube. I don't know if it's available anymore. We watched the first call to vote for the dues increase was nay, and they weren't happy with that. They revoted, and it passed. Not only did the dues increase pass, which that extra half an hour was supposed to go strictly into the newly administered strike/defense fund, which, as Dick Danjan told us, there's different legal and financial ramifications by changing that.
That's right.
The strike fund was a trust fund, and now it's not a strike fund because it's a strike/defense fund. So we changed the language on that. So it went from the strike fund to the strike/defense fund. So now we've got a dues increase, changing the strike fund, and then they called for a vote to take up to $15 million a year out of the strike fund, general funds / political. Okay?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So these are things that people think that we don't remember. On top of we've lost certain holidays. We've changed the language in the contract.
Over 8 hours of work.
Right. And where the corporation's only guaranteed to work us 40 hours, only guaranteed to pay us 40 hours, which means, like, in some of the, for instance, a short work week, you might have to work a Saturday for straight time. Instead of being Saturday would have been anything over your 40 hours.
You have EBT crew. You used to...
Yes.
I used to work Friday, straight time, daytime. Saturday, time and a half, daytime. Sunday night, I worked, I got third shift premium. And Monday night, I got third shift premium. Our second shift premium. And they took that away. Now that's all straight time. You still got your premium. But they took all that. And that's hell on your body. Working days and then two gone nights. It's not easy. And I did it.
Right. They changed that and went to a straight three-hour crew shift, for a second and third. There was just a lot of changes that was done in our contracts that we look at. And then, of course, when you look into 2009, and, some of the things that we lost there. For instance, we lost an extra day. We used to have, we called it Easter Monday. We had the day after Easter off. So it gave us a four-day weekend.
Right.
They just changed a lot of language. That there's no other way to say it. It was concessionary. Our contracts have all been concessionary since 1985 moving forward. They've all been concessionary. Everything comes at a price. Everything has its price tag. You think you're getting good something here, but in reality somewhere else, they've taken that plus more away from you. But with that being said, to go back to what Larry was saying, there's reasons why and why not to. If you're paying attention, it makes you upset with what the organization that you pay monthly dues to. And people say, well, why should I do that? Well, like I said, you've heard me make this argument before. There's more reasons to stay in the union than there is to get out. But you hold your elected officials accountable.
And you have a voice.
I go to my union meeting. I ask questions. Exactly. I go up and I talk to the shop chairman. I'll ask questions from the floor, whether I get booed or never been applauded, but whether I get booed for asking that question, I'll ask it. When you see your committee person on the floor, ask them a question. If they say, I don't know, say, well, if you don't know, I'd appreciate it if you get back to me within the next day with an answer. Just don't settle for the I don't know.
You brought up the convention, and they 598 had two that I know of, two I'm personally friends with, you and T-Bones, Terry Tobias, and you've been loud shouting nay on union dues, but the people, It's to me a rigged deal, and that's just what I believe. Not on a vote, because I was there. When they locked, when they took a break, the box was locked. It was unbelievable to me that the people, they complained and raised holy hell about the union dues being raised. And you two got on the floor and said that's one thing you were going to vote no on, and it didn't, you know, you guys both got good votes. Don't get me wrong. You did good. And, and didn't win. I was shocked. And I went back and, talked to some people, and I said, what the hell is wrong with everybody in this planet?
Right.
Because they changed this, like you said, strike and defense fund. What does that really mean? Do you know what that means? It changes everything. They want more money. And somebody, well, they just want a double pension. Now, listen, I don't know what everybody does. And I don't. To deserve a double pension at Solidarity House. But Dick Danjan, no complaints here. You know, he's not on the show anymore, but he busted his ass. Because how would you like to spend 5 days down in Spring Hill and have to fly back and spend and get home for 2 days and fly back down to Spring Hill and do that for a long time, and not to mention the he had in Spring Hill. So, yeah.
Right.
And worked his ass off to earn what he earned. But I don't know about the rest, because I don't know the rest. So I can't comment
right
on that. But good Lord, when you've got two guys that pledged.
Yeah, I gotcha. I'm just
to no end. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. I completely was shocked that I know you're a fighter. I carry the bias of a fighter for rights, and they set Terry up. I know they do things because people, you know, suck up to the union, thinking they're gonna get somewhere, go to Black Lake or get appointed. He didn't stop. He sure as hell didn't stop. You didn't stop. And it just I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. And the people they put in there, I'm sorry, I'm on a rant. I'm still shocked. I truly am. And when they bitch about those union dues, and they are, and I can kiss my backside, because you deserve it. You deserve it.
Nope.
You deserve a contract if you vote for a contract that sucks. You deserve it.
No. It's you know, we have to look back at the beginning of this year or beginning of last year, when Boeing made the same mistake that we made in 2007.
Oh,
we voted to cap off our pensions. They got them for $15,000. And if you might kind of remember this, was it a week later that a lot of them employees is wanting to give their money back to the corporation to revote?
That's right.
I think it was like a week or 10 days later, and the local president had told them, vote no. He told them no. And that $15,000, you know, that carrot got dangled in front of them, and Well, I just couldn't see past that $15,000. And they went so far as to make the local union president look like an idiot, too, if I remember right. They painted him like a bad guy. I said, no, ignore him. He don't know what he's talking about. He's crazy. And they pushed for that. By the way,
they don't think it's crazy anymore.
By the way, Boeing only had to pay a quarter of their taxes that they owed. Just a little piece of information that I stumbled upon. Boeing is one of these huge, or one of the bigger employers that get breaks and use the loopholes in their accounting practices so that they have to pay minimal taxes on huge profits.
Like General Electric, same thing.
Yeah, true. Yeah, there's three or four of the large companies that do that. But anyway, pulled back in, just as surprised and shocked as you was, as I was seeing, I had put a post up earlier this week on workers, workplaces, and unions on the former Obama aide. Says that an $8 billion buyback won't lock GM's values. Hold on a second.
Yeah, I did read that or see that. And while we're taking a break, I'd like to thank Teresa for putting up all this outstanding information.
Yeah, thank you very much, Teresa, for your contribution to the cause here.
She did a hell of a job.
Oh, yeah. But, she put some stuff out there.
Yeah. Go ahead, bro.
Well, this guy says that he wants to, he's going to nominate himself for a seat on the board of directors. And he says that an $8 billion stock buyback, which, of course, setting up a new debate on how they're going to manage and allocate the company's financial resources. He said that the automaker now needs to change their cash hoarding habits that developed during its bailout and return more money to investors. So when you follow the link from Bloomberg's article, it will take you to a GM statement that was on the 10th of February, dated, and it says, General Motors has announced today that it has received notice from Harry J. Wilson regarding the intent to nominate himself as candidate to stand for election to the GM Board of Directors at the company's 2015 annual meeting of stockholders and bring before the annual meeting a proposal that the companies commit to completing $8 billion of share repurchases on or before the first anniversary of the annual meeting. I'm going to read the whole thing, but I will read the next one because this might shed some light to some people. I got to look into this a little bit more. One I did recognize. It says, Mr. Wilson's notice indicated that he is acting with and on behalf of himself and for investment funds that support his election and proposal. They are the Teutonic Parties, Appaloosa Parties, H.G. Vora Parties, and the Hyman Parties, which together own approximately 31.2 million shares, or approximately 1.9% of the company's common stock. Mr. Wilson's notice further indicates a fee arrangement under which he will receive a percentage of the group's profit from their GM investment. I have heard of the Appaloosa Corporation before. Appaloosa Parties, I think, I'm not mistaken, excuse me, they are also had at one point was involved with the investment group that was with Mitt Romney when they bought out KB Toys. I'll look into that. Also, I believe Appaloosa has worked in the past with one of our favorites that we like to talk about occasionally was the Carlisle Group.
Carl. Gee, what a surprise.
Yeah.
That's where
for those who don't forget,
that's where former CEO went back to, claiming he resigned from General Motors, claiming his wife was too sick. He needed to take care of her. He split. And all of a sudden, a few months later, he's working at Carlisle again.
He's back on the advisory board at Carlisle and also now sits on the board of directors at Lockheed Martin.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
He knew this stuff was coming down the hill. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'll definitely look up the Carlisle Group, and you can definitely look up some of these other ones I just told you about. But he knew this stuff was coming on the recalls. This is just my opinion, folks, just my opinion.
I firmly believe he
saw this stuff on the horizon. He saw this stuff was coming. He thought, we'll get this young lady in here by the name of Mary Barra. We'll make her the CEO. We'll hand the baton off to her. I'm out of here. See ya. And she can ride the sinking ship down. I had posted something earlier this week in Workers, Workplaces, and Unions. There's also an excellent article. It's called The Paratroopers of Crony Capitalism. And it's a good piece from the AFL-CIO president. And I'm being serious. It is a good piece.
Yeah.
Here it is. 64 million vehicles recalled in 2014. And it was from the Car Connection. They said, thanks to General Motors and Takata. We've all talked about the recalls, and it's still happening. They just recalled another 81,000. I posted that, too, in case you anybody out there that's driving a Malibu Max, a Pontiac G6, and I'm trying to think, who else is it? There were four vehicles. There's a G6, the Malibu. I want to say that the Saturn Aurora was on that same platform. I could be mistaken. But anyway, they just recalled that. That's for 2007, 2006 maybe. I'll tell you, I just found it. What it is the power steering unit can go out. It says that your driver information center, you'll hear a chime, your driver information center, and it will tell you the power steering is lost. It says drivers can maintain control, but that it requires great effort at low speed. In other words, it's like cars we used to drive on, learn to drive on. They don't have power steering. And
right.
81,000 vehicles. It's the Chevrolet Malibu, Malibu Max, and the G6 from 2006 and 2007 model years. It's the recall is an expansion involving another 1.3 million vehicles from last year. The recalls will affect U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Deals replace a sensory assembly in the power steering. GM says the problem has caused one crash, but no inquiries of death. But it's being, I guess they had no choice. They had something like that. They have to take care of it now in light of what happened. Also, they said so far the cost of the recalls is greater than what they're letting on to us. Car Connection reports the total for the 2014 recalls was $4.1 billion.
Incredible.
And we don't know what it's going to, you know,
for
what happens in 2015.
Oh, that it doesn't work for General Motors or the Big Three or any car company. We do not have any say-so where we get our parts. We just put them on. We can't tell if they're defective or not. Just letting you
right.
know. Good Lord. Don't
right.
bomb me with, you guys make terrible vehicles. Well, Chrysler, Honda, Toyota, especially Toyota. They got zapped a month ago.
Yeah.
It's all over because they buy the same parts for cheap crap. They don't take when General Motors used to make their own. Cinnamon and I were talking about this. I don't recall any recalls. And look at the money they would have saved if they still had Saginaw steering gear, running all that. We used to have a seat cushion. We did our own seats in truck plant up on the third floor. Care of that. We took care of the business. And it just got... Everything's cheaper, the vehicles get higher, the wages get stagnated. So don't blame the workers, because they bust their ass every day.
Right.
But,
I mean, go back in the heyday, I mean, we made our own radios. You had AC Delco, you had Delphi. I mean, when
That's
we
right.
made our own stuff, you're right. We didn't have that. But because they thought it was more cost-effective to close this down and move these operations overseas, get a tax break for doing such, that it was going to help their bottom line. And
That's right.
After,
Everything's bottom line.
Right. It did help their bottom line. But the problem was is you had the same management. And as management changed from management hand to management hand, going through all the different CEOs, it seems instead of getting better, you had worse decision-making at the top. And then
right.
when it finally came to Rick Wagner, who went through a lot of money in a very short time, he made some bad decisions, and he took the heat for it. And he stood up for the UAW workers when the president of UAW, then Ron Gettelfinger, wouldn't say anything on our behalf. He did. But let's think about one thing, folks. Think about one thing for this for a second. Yes, he's the CEO of General Motors Corporation. But we have a board of directors there, don't we?
That's right.
Where were the board of directors? Why didn't they say anything? Who did they own their stocks with? Who are their loyalties to? Just questions to ask yourself. You know, don't think that they couldn't have fired him at any given time. They could have fired him after the first 6 months if they started losing money and said, for whatever reason, because we're not meeting our, I can't remember what the official word is, but for the stockholders, he wasn't getting that requirement met for the stockholders and not making him money. In other words, they probably could have fired him then if they wanted to as a board of directors. But they didn't. So the board of directors, in my opinion, was just as much at fault as the CEO was. But anyway.
Yeah, it starts at the top and they are the top. They can fire. They can fire anybody. With General Motors is at, I can't remember what Ross Perot called it. But, they seem to still have it. I don't know, Scott. The cheap products, cheap parts.
Well,
labor, you know, is.
Demi said it best. If you use cheap parts, you'll get a cheap product. That's what you'll have. You know, if you use cheap stuff, you'll have a cheap train. That's all there is to it. You have problems. You know, I hear people say, "Oh, well, we're quality driven. We do this for the customer." No, you don't. I'm just saying, no, you don't. Prove me wrong.
I got a text message that says, good show. Good
thank
show
you.
Tonight.
Yeah. Hey, was that it for the emails? We kind of went off on all three of them, but I'm sure
yeah, we
did those for folks.
Notes and Factor, AOL.com, FAXER1ST@AOL.com. Send your email or call. Nobody called. So that's all right. Contract.
On Facebook, it's workers.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
It's workers, workplaces, and unions.
And if you have a hard time finding this show, it'll be on that site, too. So you can listen to it through that site, and somebody will monitor, you know, I can go back and forth if you have a question. We can do it that way, too. There. I think,
Before we get too far out in here.
You had something about the paint department, didn't you? Or can you say that?
Yeah. Union meeting, real quick. Let's talk about that real quick. They've finally narrowed down our time for us to fill out for our vacation for the rest of the year. That's going to be February 16th to the 27th, which. If I remember right, there's only 28 days in February anyway, right?
Yeah.
And the national contract says through February anyway. So the vacation time for the rest of the year is 16th through 27th, which should be this week. We are working this next Saturday that was added on. So anybody who's listening who works at the truck plant, you're working Saturday. Excuse me. Last week, we brought in 30 people from Lansing Grand River. I was not aware of that. We continue to have manpower issues. Wondering why.
They usually bring people in when there's elections, so you run them down there. And this is my opinion. Run them down there. And tell them who to vote for.
There's no election going on, but these people were laid off in Lansing Grand River. And I think they had to...
I'm glad they're back to work, but you're not catching what I'm saying. I've seen them take a whole slew of people right down to the ballot box and tell them right downstairs and tell them who to vote for before. And I think it was in you and T-Bone's election.
We're not going to talk about that. Yeah.
Well, I get pissed off when I think about it. I'm sorry. I think that's wrong. But that's usually, I've seen it happen twice, and I'm sorry if I make anybody mad. Retired and harm nobody. And I'll say it. But and it might not be true. They might be voting for Santa Claus. I don't know. Who knows?
Right.
Get more in trouble.
We are actually a year past the moratorium in Chattanooga at Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Can I get back to Larry about that Volkswagen thing? I don't know how they're skirting or how they're mind framing people to think that they have that, but until they are recognized through the National Labor Review Board and other government parties that are involved, they have no say at Volkswagen over that workforce. There's no contract.
What is certified, Scott?
Well, they haven't certified. You have to have another vote like you did last year. Last year, when they voted for the UAW representation, it was on Friday the 14th, 2014. It was 626 in favor, 712 against.
Now, hold on. The Free Press on the 9th of December, and I don't know if this is December, it says, it says the UAW has been certified as a representative of more than 45% of Volkswagen's workers. Now, what does that mean? And it says a major victory for the union. I don't understand this article is. It says the Detroit Free Press, 7:14 Eastern Standard Time, December 9th, 2014. An accounting firm has certified that the UAW represents more than 45% of Volkswagen workers, giving the union the ability to meet with the automaker's management on a regular basis. Now, that means we can negotiate, but
right.
What is certified?
Well, it says a local accounting firm. It
certified.
Doesn't say the National Labor Review Board.
I got you. Not cut and dried as of yet.
Well, I'm not saying that they couldn't be, illegal and do what they're doing, but they have no say to represent those people. They don't have a contract. They haven't went to the National Labor Review Board. That's who's gonna oversee their certification.
Well, will they get paid? Oh, it says union dues. These people are paying union dues.
There's some people down there that join Local 42. Well, to join Local 42, you got to pay your union dues. Well, again, what are you getting for your union dues? Well, that we don't know, do we?
No. We sure,
Do you see what I'm saying? What are you getting for your union dues? Did they promise you better working condition, wages, a pension?
They can't promise that if they can't, negotiate for you.
That's what I'm just saying. I don't know. I'll have to find an article and go through that, and I'm sure Teresa posted up there for a reason, so I'll have to look at that a little bit closer and try to figure that out. But, as we look forward for ourselves, labor economics come up. And in my little pea-sized brain, the best way that I understand labor economics is absolutely everything that I do with my job right now. And I mean that wholeheartedly, because everything in my job, well, labor economics, it falls into how much money do I make? What are the benefits I'm getting? How does it affect my family and my community? What's my purchasing power? What's my pension? If you're retired, what's the VEBA? All these things have an impact on my job.
That's
and
true.
We all have
and there are
money
people that
tied to them.
Retired people, there's some prescriptions you can't get anymore when you retire. So you might want to if you've got some expensive prescriptions, you might want to look into that before you make a decision to retire, because it, you know how much some of that stuff can be. They don't really tell you. They don't give you a list of what you can't get anymore. So you'll have to see if you can get a list or have somebody tell you what you can you can't get anymore. I don't know. You can do that, and I'll help you at the truck plant if you're at the truck plant. I know she'll help you out, but I know some folks that retired and some very expensive medicine they have to purchase now, because Viva will not cover it.
Right.
I like to see that come back more than anything for these folks that need it.
Yeah. No, that's the other thing. You know, you're going into the contract year. What are some of the things, you know, there were 1,500 resolutions that came through Region 1B, I believe. They accepted every one of them. Okay, well, it doesn't mean they're going to get every one of them. They accepted every one of them, and they're going to take them down to Detroit, and they'll go through them. And I'm sure, you know, Tier 2 was a big one, and so was COLA, you know, and a few other things. I'm sure there's some pension language. I put one in there about pension language myself. I put one in there about getting the retirees back their Christmas bonus. You know, it's just those things, just all these things that we have to collectively think about, because there's so much that these decisions have ramifications, not just on us, but on the future. And I think I had posted something about our forefathers and what they did for us.
Right.
Our Union predecessors paid the price. You got to keep the change.
My dad.
And the question is,
Patrice's dad and Dick Danton, they worked hard to get us what we got, and we just threw it away. Time to get something back. 40 seconds to go.
Well, the question was, don't we owe that to the next generation? And we do. All right, go ahead.
We do owe it. We'll be back next Sunday, God willing. And tell your friends and neighbors. You know, join the show.
There you go.
Call in. Call in at 347-324-3752 if you have a question. If not, you can write it out on workers. Screwed it up again.
Workers, workplaces, and unions.
Thank you. Workers, workplaces, and unions. And just put it down to Scott and he will get you the answer as he comes by it. I promise you. Or Teresa. They both work
night,
hard.
Everybody.
Yeah, good night. We're off, aren't we? We are? Yeah, we are. We're recording now. Well, anyway, talk right through that. Okay, Scott, we're done. You be careful going to work tonight. And
there's some mailbox out there right now.
Yeah, there is. And they took the mailbox down again for the third straight year. I don't know what I'm going to do, folks.
Well, they just evidently they like your mailbox.
I'm the only one.
The only one.
I hire somebody. Cement that sucker into the ground. They keep
Don't do that. I'll tell you why. Before I let you go, I'll tell you why. There was a fella who kept having issues with somebody running over his mailbox and his mailbox post. He got pretty tired of it.
Yes.
So what he did was he went and got some, I believe it was 2-inch I-beam, and had that sleeved and had that cemented into 8-foot hole with cement. And then they hung the mailbox on top of the I-beam, and then they covered the I-beam in a plastic. Somebody hit that. And, well, it stopped the vehicle, that's for sure. And what happened was he ended up getting sued.
Yeah, yeah.
Because somebody got hurt.
Yeah.
It wasn't a breakaway. So what he did do was he went back, he cut off the I-beam at the top of the cement, or just above it, welded back on top, a spring.
Yeah.
A heavy-duty spring. Then welded, I want to think it was some kind of aluminum or some kind of lightweight metal on top of it, then remounted it. So when you hit it, it wouldn't do as much damage, and it would fold over. And the only thing he'd have to replace would be his mailbox, not his mailbox and the post. And I think that was legal. It was considered a breakaway at that point. But, yeah, I know what you mean. I seen somebody who just here recently, I think they put a solid concrete column out of the ground and up, and their mailbox is actually inside the column. And I think the guy said, I want to see the snowplow take this one out. So, you're not alone.
Oh, I know
you're
I'm
not alone.
Not.
I would just hate to get
3 years
of bill from the county.
Yeah,
yeah, 3 years in prison for doing that. Yeah.
Oh, I believe it. I can't even post it. Buried in snow, mailbox cinnamon saved. But I'll dig that out tomorrow and just. Have to wire it on so the snow melts. It's so hot out there.
There you go. That's one way to do it.
All right. You take care of yourself and be careful. Definitely be careful going into work tonight. And I'll call me sometime this week. You run into Pee Wee.
Okay.
So I'm still looking for my jacket.
Okay.
And don't forget.
No,
I know you. Because, I know how you are.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. All righty, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Good night. Tell Gene good night, too.
Good night. I will do that.